From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made just about 48 hours ago when the fourth and final proposal for Rochester's Parcel 5 was finally fully revealed. Parcel 5 is that prime piece of land downtown at the site of the old Midtown Plaza, just over an acre in size, and it runs along Main Street. And what should be done with it? City leaders have called it vital to get this right. We've known three of the four proposals for some time. One is a performing arts center. One is for a kind of community square with a lot of green space. The third is for numerous 3 to 4 story buildings creating a kind of retail district for the city. So what about the fourth? We're about to find out. Patrick Dutton and Andy Galina have partnered to offer plans for a 14-story tower along with significant green and event space on Parcel 5. And this is our chance to hear their ideas at length and for you to ask questions. Developers Patrick Dutton and Lauren Galina are here. Lauren, welcome. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I was told. It's nice to have you here on your birthday. And Patrick Dutton, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Listeners, there's a good chance for us to kind of plow into this proposal. And every time we've talked about these proposals, we get a lot of great community feedback. If you want to call the program with thoughts on what you're hearing or questions about how the proposal would work, it's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And I will just start with this. Patrick, when did you know you wanted a proposal? When did you know that you, Andy, Lauren, the team was going to come together and put together something for Parcel 5?
Well, ever since I started working with Andy Galina and the Galina team on the Chase Tower Metropolitan Project, Andy was hell-bent on Parcel 5. He thought this space needed to be something special. He wanted it to be exceptional. The Galina team owns 1 East Avenue, which borders Parcel 5 to the east, right on the corner of East and Main. And he just wanted this to be green in the interim. Right now, it's, you know, covered in rubble and stone, and he wanted this thing to look nice and look presentable for the development that's taking place to help attract retail and office tenancy. And he's just been so focused on this from day one. So I really credit Andy for being a large motivation behind this. But as the city started releasing the RFP for it, that was one of the driving forces. But the other was really the casino. And the fact that a casino for our downtown, this quickly developing, organically developing downtown, would have been treacherous. And, you know, so that was one of those things where it's like, oh, my gosh, we have to do something. This is going to get out of control here. So, you know, we were really in the anti-casino camp. And that combined with Andy's real desire to do something exceptional on the site were the combined motivation.
Why anti-casino?
First of all, it's not fair to call it a casino. What they were talking about was really a video parlor, if you will. There was no games, no real like card games or dice games or anything that you'd think about a real casino. This was literally just a video parlor, and I don't know if you've ever been to one, Evan, but it's really not that great. And to give up the most prime piece of real estate in our center core when you have office development taking place, you have residential taking place all around it, you have coffee shops opening up, you just have exceptional, great urban development taking place, to put a video push-button parlor in there is laughable, frankly. So that was really, and we were scared. So that combined with his real motivation to do something exceptional there was the impetus to get started.
Lauren, how would you characterize Andy's feelings on that parcel?
He's extremely passionate about it. I also think that there's a real importance in terms of mixed use down there. You want activity during the day. You want it at night. You want to see that vibrancy year round, week round. You know, from day to night. And so one of the things that we were nervous about with that is, you know, what kind of use is that going to bring to the street vitality right along Main Street, which is so important as we continue to grow and rebuild our downtown.
Patrick was on a tear before the hour began, and I'd like to revisit that, because the city has said they have to get this right. And you said that is not hyperbole. They really do have to get this right.
Yeah. We as a community, this is critical. There's so much taking place right now. Developers and business owners are investing millions and millions of dollars everywhere you look from this particular parcel. So it's critical that we get a great urban designed project to move forward. And one thing that's really interesting is that, you know, the jazz festival took place there. We spoke briefly about that. And it was a huge success. People came out and they explored the city, and had a wonderful time in a portion of the city where they've never really been before. This is the first real main event in the outdoors. And you can see all the development and all of the things happening around you. You can almost forecast what it's going to feel like in the future. So following that jazz festival, the community really spoke. In all my years of developing downtown, I have never seen the reaction from people, from talk in the coffee shops to just people on the street speaking in support of keeping it green, of doing something where we have this great community gathering space, which we don't have in our community. And right in the heart of it all, whether it be, you know, walking out for a lunchtime picnic with somebody, meeting somebody for a nighttime concert, connecting on a food truck rodeo, whatever it may be, we didn't have a green space. And I think that really was a strong impetus for us to incorporate that into our design. We really believe that. But that's not all. Main Street is also right there. And there's so much happening on Main Street, and there's so much that needs to happen. This site, it's a huge chunk right across from the Sibley building. And as we all know, Sibley was once our retail anchor in downtown, and it will be again a retail anchor in the future. But retail doesn't want to just work in isolation. Retailers need other retailers. You know, you want to be able to go and you want to shop and you want to visit multiple stores. And retailers want to be around additional stores. And they certainly want to have a double-loaded Main Street, double-loaded corridor, if you will. You walk out of the Sibley building, if you look across the street and you see Performing Arts Center that's open in the evenings only, well, it doesn't really promote retail. But if you walk out of the Sibley building and you see, hey, there's another clothes store that I want to go. I want to go grab lunch over there. It promotes this idea of shopping and a community kind of retail environment. So it's critical both for Main Street and for a community gathering space to really get the design correct. And we worked hard to make sure that accommodated both.
It's amazing, Lauren, when you look at the photos of the Trombone Shorty concert at the Jazz Fest and the thousands of people in that space. It was like one big community light went off that, not saying everybody agrees, obviously not. Mm-hmm. RBTL wants a performing arts center there and others want different things there. But that did seem to have an impact more than just one night of a fun event, didn't it?
Yeah, and anyone that was down there felt the energy. There was certainly, you know, Jazz Fest in general brings such an energy to downtown, but for that night in particular, it brought a whole nother sort of vibrancy a little bit further. And it's only, you know, basically two blocks from where the main part of Jazz Fest is happening anyways, but you really felt that. And we were at the top of 1 East Avenue looking down on the whole concert, and it was amazing, and people really, really loved just being there and the energy that was around that.
Where can people find, as we go throughout this hour, especially people who listen at work or listening through mobile devices may want to see a little bit more of what we're talking about, because there are some, what do you call this?
It's a rendering.
Okay,
yes.
I don't know the official industry term. There are renderings, and there's a chance for you to see more. Easy place to do that?
Well, we really feel like this is a community project and a community site. So we've registered parcel5.com, and we've just begun putting some things on there. Right now, only one rendering is on there, but we're intending to put nearly our entire proposal to City Hall on parcel5.com, so people can go on, they can read about it, they can comment on it, and they can have a better idea as to why we're doing and why we're proposing to build what we're proposing. So we really want that dialogue.
And they'll probably find out. Oh, go ahead, Lauren.
And I think you had a representation at the press conference yesterday, so you should have, I believe, the renderings on your website
as
well.
Yeah, we do. And so you can at least see a drawing if you go to WXXINews.org, rendering. Sorry about that. Before we then jump into, I've got so many questions here, but before we do that, just a little bit more about Galena Dutton. For people who hear the names, I'll start with Lauren Galena.
Sure. Yeah, Galena Development is a family-owned and operated business. We've been in business for over 30 years now. My grandfather started the company. My dad's taken it and grown it quite a bit, and now my brothers and I are all involved. So we own and manage about 2.5 million square feet of office space in Monroe County and surrounding areas, really diving into the downtown development piece of it with our first purchase of 1 East Ave about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and then with the purchase of Chase Tower in March of 15. And we're working on that as a mixed-use project, developing apartments. That's our first big residential project, and we're very excited about that. So that's been a sort of our forte into downtown development, but super passionate about what's happening in our community. We've been city residents our whole lives, so.
Okay. Patrick Dutton?
Yeah, I'm a real estate developer and broker with a direct focus in downtown Rochester and the surrounding neighborhoods. Some of the projects I've worked on include the Capron Street Lofts, which is a 20-unit condominium project. Recently completed the Jiva Lofts for all the Jiva actors and actresses to live in. Bevier Building is another building that I've recently worked on. And the redevelopment of the former Merkle Donahue site over near Jiva and near Dinosaur Barbecue is another. We have a project in the neighborhood of the arts and certainly working with Galena on the redevelopment of Chase Tower downtown as well.
The second conversation of the four Parcel 5 proposals that are in this round came from Ben Welk's team, and his website is thisisnotapark.com, and they talked about the fact that they wanted more of a community square, a lot of green space, a place to go, a good impact on everything around it. Yes, room for some food trucks, room for events, regular events. And a lot of people liked the green space. They liked the idea of not just packing that 1.17 acres with as much as you can. And I'm looking at your proposal, and I see a lot of green. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of what people got excited about with that first proposal, and then, of course, the tower. And we're going to talk about the tower. But did you sort of follow the community reaction to that, Patrick, in terms of Ben's proposal? And what did you make of that?
Well, we are completely in support of keeping this, you know, most of the site green. In fact, about 2/3 of our site is green space or patio space. So there's a huge outdoor community gathering component to this whole thing. So, we were in complete agreement with some of the ideas that these gentlemen were coming up with. And on the side, we were coming up with some of the same things as well. So it's really what the community is feeling. I mean, that's the energy out there right now. We're calling for this. And I think that's a result of what you're seeing with the design here.
When Ben and his group were on, we talked about the fact that Rochester city government did say as part of this, you know, they want to be able to add to the tax base. They want to create jobs. And if you're not using, you said, what, 2/3 are green space and bent patio, et cetera. So you could use so much more of that for high rise, for more space, to add to the tax base. What's the answer to the city if they're asking you, okay, that green space looks nice, I see one tower, but is that enough?
That's a value-added amenity that's going to bring value to all the surrounding properties as we continue to build the residential, as we continue to build the office market downtown. It's going to, all the ships are going to rise in that tide. It's adding value to every project around it.
Okay. Patrick?
I would agree with that. We still have a commercial space vacancy in downtown. There's still office dwellers that are choosing elsewhere because of parking primarily, frankly. But as downtown continues to develop and there's an amenity like this outdoor space right in the heart of this mixed-use office and residential district and a future retail district, we feel as though these commercial decision makers are going to come back, and new businesses that are opening up, we're seeing out already. They're choosing to be in downtown close to things like this because a lot of their employees are millennials. Millennials don't want to go and park and walk into their office and get back in their car and go home. They want to be able to walk to work. They want to be able to walk out during lunch, meet friends for a beer after work, and live life. So we see it coming back, and that's going to add to the tax base as these buildings become fully occupied as a result of such good thinking like this and other projects around us. It's going to add to the tax base, 100%.
Let me grab our first phone call in Rochester. This is Sam. Go ahead, Sam.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the Performing Arts Center that they was talking about going in that place down there.
Sure.
Now, we have about 5 of them already with Geneva Theater, Downstairs Cabaret. We got the one out on 104 with Kodak. Why would we go and build another when we have about 5 here in the city already? So if they got the money, why don't they give it to Geneva Theater and let them just expand what they're doing and bring these places together, and then you'll have one big one. And then I want to talk about the casino they were talking about at one time, bringing down there.
Mm-hmm.
So now they were talking about bringing them down. You know that people on welfare are going to try to go in there. So what they should do is get identification with their name, their address, and their phone number. And every time they go in there, they have to push their card to let them go in there. If anybody go in there that's on welfare, take them off welfare. And then, as far as getting jobs into this city, Bob Duffy, who is the president in the Chamber of Commerce, has given more jobs in this city than the mayor by working with business people in this city. So I don't understand. Why can't they look around out there and find someone who is a legitimate business and try to bring them in and let them fill that spot, besides with gambling and performing arts center? Bring some legitimate jobs in here. Have you looked at the black neighborhoods and the quality of life that's there because of no jobs? No job. They get up every day with no job, no place to go, and no place to put an application in. Well, thank God for Bob Duffy, who has kind of provided some employment for some people in this city. But you know, and you know, that's a good thing. You know, but what is the mayor doing?
Yeah, well,
the mayor could be doing more of that.
Sam, let me jump in and just say you've given us a lot to think about. Thank you for the phone call. So just a couple of things there. We're kind of working our way through this proposal because there are jobs involved and there are legitimate possible businesses and companies and this mixed use, which we're just about to talk about. We're working through the proposal that includes a lot of green space that because that's been, I think, as Patrick and Lauren have said, this community in many ways, at least in an unscientific way, and I'm very careful to recognize that, but calls to this program, calls to City Hall, interest in various places. People have, I think, gotten onto this idea that you don't have to fill every square inch of that with just building space, and that mixing it up, green space, making a community square may make it a gem of an attractive place and impact everything around it. But there's a tower there. We're going to talk about that in just a second. I just want to hit Sam's point on he's not really feeling a performing arts center there. You guys both, or at least I think Patrick, you spoke very forcefully about a casino, your concerns about gaming casino downtown. Performing arts center, is that the wrong use for this site, do you think?
There's a couple key concerns, I think, with that. A is the footprint of what the site entails and how that would fill in the space. I think that the parking downtown is already very under pressure in terms of the development that's taking place. So that would be something that would really need to be looked at. And just the fact that it's a lot of nighttime use. There's not much going on during the day at a performing arts center. So those are our main concerns with the project. You know, we're not against a performing arts center in general, but is Parcel 5 the right site for it? We don't know the answer to that.
Anything to add there, Patrick?
You know, it's interesting. The Auditorium Theater, I would say, has been in kind of a somewhat challenging section of Main Street these last 20 years. But there's a lot of development all around the Auditorium Theater. Everything from Village Gate continues to expand. The Public Market is doing wonderful things. The George Eastman Dental Dispensary across the street from the Performing Arts Center it recently opened up. I think yesterday was their grand opening. It feels like it's in the path of progress. And to build a new theater right now may be premature when the best space they have is right there in front of them. I don't know that business model. I know they have some needs for bringing in bigger shows and things like that. I don't know their model so well. I like performing arts centers. I like the Auditorium Theater. So I don't really know what their needs are, but I got to agree with Sam to a degree. There are a ton of theaters here in town, and there's one right down the street. So I don't know if this major investment in a new theater is the perfect solution.
And Sam, the comment from RBTL's Arnie Rothschild is that they think they can bring in bigger shows, the best shows, if we've got at least a 3,000 seat theater, which we currently do not have. And they think that's the place for it. So we'll see what the city has to say about that. Before I go back to your phone calls, Sam led us right into the tower. So it's not just open space there. Let's talk about that end of it. So I'm looking right here. And listeners, if you're going to look at what WXXINews.org posted, that rendering, on the right, the bottom right side is what street there?
That's Main Street.
There's Main Street. And fronting Main Street, tell us about the tower and what we're looking at here. Take us through it.
Well, the first three or four floors are a combination of retail, restaurant space, entertainment space, and commercial office space. So new businesses or businesses that are looking to relocate downtown or grow in downtown, we have some space allocated for those uses. On the backside of that rendering, which you can't see in this particular picture, are exterior decks and patios that really interface directly with the open space, the park. And it allows these business ventures to kind of celebrate what's going on in the park, be it jazz festival, be it a food truck rodeo, be it some type of Christmas or holiday event. It allows these folks to have great interactivity with the green space, which we think makes perfect sense. And it allows these office spaces and retail spaces to be exceptional in more ways than one.
So 14 stories total.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And again, how much of that on retail?
First floor retail.
Yep. What is the kind of retail that you envision?
Well, we're not quite sure yet. We have a couple of uses in mind. We've been speaking with a few different folks. There's one entertainment venue that includes food and beverage and entertainment, live music. So we know food and beverage right now is very strong in all sorts of main streets across America. So people are shopping, they're dining, they're going out for an evening or an afternoon, and it involves more than just shopping. So we know that's one component. But we've designed it in such a way where we can create small retail offerings, larger retail offerings in a number of areas within that first floor space.
Okay. Lauren?
Yeah, and then floors 2 through 4 would be office space, so commercial, traditional office space. And then moving up, approximately 31 market rate condominiums on the 5th through 14th floors. So right now, there's a lot of residential units coming online in downtown, but mostly are for rent. There's not a lot of owner-occupied units, and this is something that we see as we're working on the Metropolitan and Patrick's seen with his projects. There's a real demand for owner-occupied spaces. So we see this as something that's people have spoken to us about and are looking for. The other thing I would add is that we're also proposing two stories of underground parking. So adding about 175 parking spots for our development, commercial tenants, as well as residents, and potentially some of our commercial tenants next door.
Okay. Patrick?
Yeah, one thing I'd like to add is most people don't realize this, but downtown Rochester, of all the housing units in downtown Rochester, roughly 3% are owner-occupied. That means 97% of all housing units are apartments, are rental. That's not a real sustainable environment, in my opinion. It should be at least 50-50. And we got a long ways
to go. 97.3?
97% is rental. So you think about it. You have a different mindset when you're an owner of your home versus when you're a renter. A lot of renters are transient. You're coming and going. You're on your way from somewhere to the next. You're either just sold your home and you're looking to come downtown and try it out, live here for a couple years and maybe do something else, or you're starting out your career and you've got a nice apartment, but maybe you're looking at buying something in the future. We don't have opportunities to buy downtown. People who typically own are more invested in their community. They get involved more often with things around them. And at 3%, it's not a real statistic that I like about our center city. So with adding 31 more units to this neighborhood, we think we're going to add 31 new owners that are going to be invested, that are going to be involved with things around them, and it's going to help promote a better downtown.
Is that the market speaking, though? Is it 97.3 because that's what the market in Rochester is? Or do you think the market is ripe for at least getting closer to parity?
It's a huge void in the marketplace. There is excellent opportunity for people that want to own. There's just no opportunities to do it. And partly because it's a very difficult proposition to create a condominium project. There's more risk associated with it. It's a more difficult thing to finance. Building 100 apartments and renting them out, you have complete control. You go from start to finish. Holding the hands of potentially 100 different buyers is very difficult, and it takes a lot of time, and banks don't usually like it. So it's a difficult proposition, but it's one we believe is worth pursuing.
All right, I see that phone continuing to ring. Let's get our only break of the hour in, and we're going to come back to your phone calls. Patrick, Carlene, I see line 3 ringing. If you want to call the program, you can do that with Patrick Dutton and Lauren Galena talking about the fourth and final proposal for Parcel 5 in the city of Rochester. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections. Fashion Week is coming to Rochester. And it is always a great event for fashion, state the obvious, but there's also a connection to helping people in poverty and some remarkable personal stories, and we will hear those on Monday. Then second hour, former Congressman Bob Inglis, a Republican and a conservative who says it's time to get real about climate change. The science of climate for conservatives, second hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Before I get back to your phone calls, I just want to remind you that Patrick Dutton and Lauren Galina are my guests for the hour, developers who have worked on this proposal for Parcel 5. If you want to check out previous conversations with Glenn Kellogg from Hearts Local Grocers, and Glenn always loves it when I call him a grocer. He's an urban economist who happens to be a grocer. He has a proposal. Ben Welk and his group have a proposal. RBTL has a proposal. You can check out previous conversations on this as we explore at length what could go in the heart of downtown, and you can do that. And as we go throughout this hour as well here, we're going to talk a little bit more about uses for that green space, that park space, because I think baked into what Ben Welk has talked about is that you can't just put a community square there and just kind of walk away from it. Programming events is important. Having an organization that at least gives you some sense on is it music? Is it food trucks? Is it seasonal events? So we will get there, I promise. But I want to make sure some of you have been waiting, get your calls answered. So Patrick in Rochester is next with Patrick and Lauren. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yes, the winter. We won't tell the Chamber of Commerce, but our winters are dreadful, cold. Two-thirds of that in the ice and snow. Now, we have a beautiful winter garden you can't get to at the Bausch Building. They tore down the connections over Main Street between Sibley's and whatever this thing is going to be. What about our weather? And that really is frightening, especially, I think it's frightening.
All right, Patrick, a fair question. Lauren, Patrick?
I think there's a couple things. I think with all this residential going on, there, no matter what the weather is, you still have to walk your dog. You still have to take them out during whatever season it is. And I also think there's a real opportunity for some of the seasonal activities that used to bring a lot of people downtown. A major Christmas tree lighting, visits with Santa, sleigh rides, that kind of thing. We're certainly open to a lot of that programming that would bring people down at all seasons, regardless of what the weather is.
Patrick?
I would just add to that, one of the things we have planned for this park we have an intentional direction to program this park on a four-season basis. So call it a chili cook-off in the wintertime, a pumpkin pop-up event where families can bring their kids down for a pumpkin patch affair, hot chocolate gatherings, Santa, everything that Lauren mentioned, and more. I mean, that's one of the things that we're looking to do is engage with the public to find out more ideas, how to bring people out, what different events that we can bring to this area. Because, again, we want to create this gathering space with events that people want to come to. And that's four seasons. It's not just summer and fall. It's really, we want to do it in the winter and spring as well.
You couldn't make this proposal if it was a two or a three season proposal, could you?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the real exceptional urban gathering spaces do things year-round.
Yeah, and they have one of the most popular coffee shops in the city facing Parcel 5 down there in Fuego. You've got things that are happening already around it. So, you can talk about Parcel 5 and the tower and the ground floor space and the housing, but there's a lot happening around that. And I would hope that people still want to go places. Maybe not be outside all day, but maybe that's the measure of the quality of the proposal. And so, Patrick, thanks for the phone call. I think it's a fair question. Let me get back to the phones. And Richard in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Richard.
I was at the Eastman last night with another couple who've been looking for a condo. And the Sagamore is filled up, and there are no other options. I strongly support the idea of redressing the imbalance, the unavailability of condos downtown. And as to the weather, maybe some heated sidewalks. The weather isn't all that bad. I think the other caller who spoke about this is at unspeak. This isn't Buffalo. It's not Minneapolis. We can deal with the weather in the winter, especially if there's programming in that great park space, which the Galinas have proposed, tying into the existing park space that the city already constructed and opened up last year. So maybe a modest improvement like heated sidewalks would be over this problem. And by the way, there's new technology available for that. It's not it's not the kind of thing with the pipes you're going to leak after a few years. They do it differently now, and it works. So I want to champion the importance of having condos downtown.
Richard, thanks for the phone call, and I'm sure they appreciate your enthusiasm, Patrick.
Yeah, Richard, I hear it all the time as well. People move here, especially from out of town, other big cities, and they come down looking to buy a condo downtown, thinking, you know, just like the city they've come from or others they've lived in or visited, that there's going to be a couple options for them to consider. And they get here, they're surprised, these executives, there's nothing. You know, there's nothing for them. There's maybe a resale of a townhouse in Cornhill, maybe a single-family home over in Grove Place, maybe a condo at the Sagamore or Capron, but that's pretty much it.
Where do they go? What do they do when there's no option?
They rent sometimes. They often end up in the suburbs, frankly. Yeah.
Or the Park Ave area.
Yeah. Back to the phones. Carlene in Rochester. Next up, go ahead, Carlene.
Yes. I've heard a number of people mention the Rochester Broadway Theater League, and one of the things, I was downtown paying taxes yesterday, and because I knew that they had either paid little or no taxes, I asked for a printout. At the Auditorium Theater, they pay, or should pay this year, $640 in taxes total to the city of Rochester. Their deferment, or what they are claiming that they do not pay and have never paid, is $38,400. And this has been going on for decades. And so when I hear the name Arnie Rothschild wants to build a theater, to whose benefit? Because the taxpayers do not receive a single penny from the Rochester Broadway Theater League. And this is something that is misunderstood. If they mean that they're going to be supporting restaurants nearby with their patrons, that's one thing. But the fact that they always and always will ask for this tax deferment because supposedly they give classes to low-income children has been going on for over 20 years.
Well, Carlene, I wish Arnie were here to at least defend that part of it, and so I can't speak for him. I understand your concern, and let me at least pivot that question to Patrick and Lauren, and just ask, when it comes to tax base, you know, the city has stressed they want to be able to add to it. First of all, who's going to own the tower on this property? Is it
Galena Development?
Galena Development will own it. And what's the expectation when you present to the city and you're trying to check all their boxes? How does this benefit the tax base? How do we make sure, you know, are you asking for any deferments or pilots, et cetera, all the things that sort of Carlene is highlighting in other developments?
There are a couple property tax abatements for new construction or redevelopment of existing buildings.
Sure.
By right. It's state and it's within state and city and county charters to provide for those tax abatements. But at the end of 10 years, I mean, this is a very early estimate, but it's likely that at the end of 10 years, this will be producing somewhere in the range of $400,000 to $700,000 of property taxes for the city. I mean, this would be a huge revenue generator for City Hall, without question, mm-hmm. especially having the condos. The condo component adds to the city's bottom line.
Absolutely. And I was just going to stress that this is primarily privately funded and financed. This is not looking for, you know, public funds to contribute to the construction costs of this project.
I think if I were you, I would highlight that at the top of every single present. Now, this community has a history of big projects, and some with success, some with rather spectacular failure. Not at all saying that's going to happen at Parcel 5, but you understand why taxpayers want it to work. They want it to work, and they want it to work on its own if they can, without subsidy. So good information there, and fair questions there. Sarah writes to us on Twitter and says, we've watched restaurants come in and go out from Radisson for 20 years. Why would a restaurant at Parcel 5 be any different?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that is part of the nature of restaurants. Restaurants open up, concepts come.
That is true.
And concepts go. So that's part of their business model. I mean, even for some restaurant owners, they open up a restaurant, and in 6 or 7 years, when things start to get stale, they rebrand, reopen under a new name, new concept. So that's not all that strange to hear. But for us, it would be an intentional partnership, if you will, with a well-qualified, experienced restaurant, entertainment, venue, owner, operator. And we would do our due diligence to make certain that this team, this concept going in, would be there for the long haul.
Okay. And I think with the amount of residential units coming online, the face of what's going on downtown is going to be quite different than it has been in the past. The Radisson, I imagine, would primarily be, it would be people that were staying at the Radisson that would patronize that restaurant. So that really depends on the Radisson's business, because there's not a lot of people coming and going on Main Street right now after 5 o'clock. But as residents begin to move down, especially around the Midtown block, it's going to change the population down there quite a bit.
Out to Brighton we go. This is Danielle next up. Go ahead, Danielle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question.
Sure.
I grew up in New York City, and when I moved in 1997 to Rochester, when I looked for a place to live, it was in walking distance of a supermarket. And we moved into Brighton as a result. We could walk to Super Duper, and then Super Duper closed. So now going to a market means getting in the car. Will you be including a supermarket that you could walk to? I know Hearts is there, and I love Hearts, but still, you'd have to drive from Parcel 5 to get to Hearts. So what are your plans around helping people who live in the city want to really live an urban life?
Thank you, Danielle. You could ride a bike to Hearts.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the things that we're doing at the Metropolitan and would certainly look at for this project is a bike share program where we have branded bikes that are owned by the building that are for the use of people living and working in the building, certainly to go do things as grocery shopping and quick little jaunts to the East End are no problem.
Grocery shopping is not in the cards for this, though?
It's not in the cards for this. We're huge proponents of Hearts as well, mm-hmm. and Hearts is about 2.5 to 3 blocks away from this particular site. You by foot, you'd be there in less than 10 minutes. And Hearts also have set up a delivery service. If you're not feeling like walking that particular day, the weather's poor, Hearts will deliver.
Glenn Kellogg of Hearts is out with his own proposal. And we talked to him on this program a couple weeks ago about that. And I know you know Glenn well. So now there's this interesting time where you're technically competing with Glenn for his proposal. His is to sort of, the DNC calls it the bite-sized approach, but multiple buildings, 3 to 4 stories tall, fronting Main Street with retail at the ground floor and mixed housing in the 3 to 4 stories above that. He says it would create a kind of retail district. I wonder what you think about that proposal and how you feel about it.
I think Glenn is very passionate about urban design and making sure that something is being used in the most productive way. He's seen our proposal and is quite supportive of what we're proposing. And I would say we are of his as well. He's certainly a friend, and I think Moore is really concerned about the good of the community in planning something rather than seeing a casino or a different type of project that he doesn't see fit for the site.
Yeah, agree, Patrick?
Yeah, I would agree completely, yeah.
Okay. I want to get to a question on timeline. Joel writes to the program and says, what is the understanding about who will decide which proposal is selected and what is community input? It's a good question with a couple different layers to it, because before the hour began, I was asking Patrick and Lauren about timeline. And I said that my understanding was that City Hall would make a choice sometime this fall. And I could absolutely be speaking out of school. I haven't talked to Jim Smith about this in a while. So Jim, call me if I'm totally wrong about that. But Patrick did point out that the city is still within their rights to decide. They've got 4 proposals and they could still decide none of them. It's possible?
It's possible. This is the second RFP the city's put out for this Parcel 5. The first one, I was, I believe, a year or a year and a half ago, and a few people submitted, and all applications, all projects were declined. So it's within the right to pass again. I think they're less likely to do that this time around, but by all means, they're within the right to do that.
Okay. And so I think it would surprise me only because the tone of what I've read from people like Jim Smith of the city and other city leaders is that I think there's a lot of excitement about the energy, the proposals, the quality of the proposals, the quality of the people and their resumes that were coming in with these 4. So who knows? But if they do decide on one of them, do you have any expectation it would be next month or the following or before the winter?
We present to City Hall, I believe, next week, and they'll be calling in each of the proposals to individually do a presentation and answer questions based on the proposals. They haven't given us a timeline beyond that. There's a committee we're not privy to who is on that committee or when they'll be deciding.
So Joel's asking who kind of makes the final call. We don't exactly know. Obviously, Mayor Warren's going to have a lot to say about it. But
Yeah, I think Mayor Warren will end up making the final call on this. But she'll probably receive a recommendation from a group of people that are really vetting out each and all of the proposals. That's my guess.
Okay. And I believe the sale has to be approved by City Council.
And lobbying / community input, any factor going forward? I mean, Joel's asking, you know, if people will have a voice here.
Without a doubt, especially as it relates to programming this green space. If people have ideas for events, community engagement, festivals, we really want to hear it. I mean, we're just coming up with some great ideas on our own over the last several weeks, but we know several others will have ideas as well. I mean, one of the things we've been speaking about that I'm excited about is urban camping, you know, an opportunity to connect with the youth of our city. It can be with different organizations at the city school district or the Boy Scouts, but we're excited about connecting with the youth, inviting these folks to take part and embrace their city in an alternative way, coming downtown, having a unique adventure in the heart of their city, our city, and just thinking about it differently from then on out. I know if I was a kid, I had an opportunity to do something like that, it would be exceptional. I would remember it to this day. So, you know, if folks have ideas out there, we want to hear them.
You want to see more? Again, Lauren Galena, people can see more on this project where?
Yeah, I believe it's on the WXXI news website, as well as the Democratic Chronicle yesterday, and on our Facebook page, Galena Development.
Galena Development. Yep. And when it comes to the timeline going forward, let's say in the middle of the fall, you guys are selected. It's going to be your project. Mm-hmm. What is a best case timeline? Take me through what happens next.
Best case timeline would be, I mean, this is a major, major development project. This is complicated. I mean, two levels of underground parking would have to be, you know, the ground would have to be excavated first and foremost. So you have civil work, engineering work, all sorts of HVAC and gas and electric, all sorts of things just to set the stage for construction to take place. And it's very complicated, especially in a site like this where you have businesses all around you. You have Main Street around you. You have other surrounding streets on top of the site. I mean, it's a complicated project. So it'll take some time to figure out how exactly to do that. We've gotten a good start on it already. We've thought a lot about it because we got to know if the project makes sense fiscally to put together, and we think it does. But our intentions would be to break ground after Jazz Festival in 2017. So Jazz Festival wraps up, great celebration, a week-long of events. Our community can anticipate what will come following the completion of the project, and it would be our intention to break ground immediately after Jazz Festival next year.
And then, go ahead, Lauren.
One of the things with this project, you know, it's with this process, I guess, is the RFP process. We're not, you know, we're not guaranteed that we're going to win this. So we can only take this so far until we get awarded the project. It's hard to go through the entire planning phase without really knowing that it's and making the expenses and all that based on not knowing that we have the project. So, you know, should we get the green light, we're certainly ready to hit the ground running. But until that point, we're kind of at a standstill.
Listeners, before I get back to your questions, I have an ignorant host question, which is, you know, 14 stories on the tower, which is retail on the ground floor, three floors of office, and then you've got how many total condominiums?
Approximately 31.
31 over the next 10 floors. Mm-hmm. But why not 18 floors or 20? How did 14 become the number?
Well, we needed a certain amount of height, to make it exceptional. You know, we wanted this building to stand out, but two, the garage construction, you know, excavating the site, building this garage, it's very expensive to do that. And we needed enough space in this building to pay for it. We need enough essentially sellable space in the building and rentable space to be able to pay for the garage, pay for the park, and 14 stories just about does that. Now, if we find there's exceptional demand and people really taking to our project and wanting to purchase, we do have the option of going higher.
Okay. And we also worked very closely with SWBR Architects on this proposal, just looking at the scale and what the site deserves, surrounding buildings, and making sure that the scale was right for all the other development that's going on as well. We didn't want to have something that stood out like a sore thumb in terms of size or scale.
If you break ground after the Jazz Fest next year, you could see that tower completed by when?
Probably 2 years following.
2 years following. Yeah. Okay, let me fly through some more comments that have come in via email. Paul writes and says, the community would benefit from a new RBTL theater. The Odd is one of the smallest theaters, and consequently, we can't accommodate bigger shows, and the Odd would still get other non-Broadway shows. That's his vote. But Mary says, I'm so excited about the Galena offering for Parcel 5. Can I be your community disciple for these plans? Mary, I'm sure that everybody can be a voice, Mary. Everybody can be a voice. And Kristen writes and says, and I think this is interesting. I'd love to hear your thoughts. What a listener named Kristen writes. She says, if people want to live a true urban life, why are they so afraid of walking 3 or 4 blocks to the supermarket or to one of the empty and abandoned parking lots 2 blocks off Main Street? People in New York City walk 5 or 6 blocks to get on the bus or the subway. Please don't say there's not enough parking in our city. Come on, Rochester. I love the Galena proposal. That's from Chris. What do you think of that?
We're spoiled here in Rochester. Mm-hmm. We don't have traffic. We pull up to the best supermarket in the country. We park right in front of it. And there's never issues with parking anywhere. At most, people sometimes complain about paying $5 to go see a show. They got to spend $5 or $10. Meanwhile, they're out on the night out of town. We're just spoiled here in Rochester. We don't have the issues that other people have in other cities. We have the cheapest downtown parking rates, probably, well, certainly in the state, but probably throughout the Northeast in comparable size markets. I mean, we're just really spoiled. So we just don't get it yet. And I agree with her. I mean, this market's changing. The millennials are kind of leading the charge. And frankly, I think we're talking about something that in 10 years is going to be a completely different conversation. Parking in general with autonomous cars and shared driving services and things like Uber and Lyft, things are changing, and we shouldn't really be building so much with parking in mind. We have to accommodate it, but I agree with most of what she said. Absolutely.
And I think there's a lot of gaps right now. So I think the perceived safety and walkability of our city is tarnished by the gaps that we have, not only in our development, but some of the vacancy that we have down there. When you're not walking down a street that feels vibrant or active, it's hard to feel safe. So I think as people begin to come downtown again, begin to live downtown again, are walking their dogs out at night, you'll feel a little bit more safe and willing to take that couple block walk.
To be clear as well, if you're just joining the program, this is not a project that comes with no parking at all here again. It's just that the parking is hidden. And Patrick and Lauren, how important is it that if we see new parking built in the city, it's not an ocean of parking at the street level?
It's critical.
Essential.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore? We've got too much of that?
What we did at the Metropolitan, we have a little bit of underground parking underneath the 26-story tower, our city's second tallest building. Mm-hmm. We connect to a civic parking garage, but we needed to create a little bit of a front door and a drop-off, if you will. And as part of that design, we've added some kind of temporary parking spaces, valet parking. Things like that make a lot of sense, but we still need access to parking. I mean, it can't be for certain uses, it can't be across the other side of the city. And we're actually running out the existing parking garages that we have downtown. We are running out of spaces because of a lot of the development projects that are taking place. So, but surface parking lots, they got to go.
And I also don't think we're to the point right now in our community where people are willing to give up their cars, where it's not totally walkable yet, where people are, and to the point earlier about the weather, you know, people aren't really ready to commit to being in an environment where they're giving up their cars here. So it's essential to the success of this project.
John writes and says, I think we're fortunate to have multiple good proposals there. I just hope to see something get moving soon. Has the city tipped their hand on this? It's a good question. I don't think so. Not that I
see. Not at all.
No?
Not remotely, no.
Have you heard from the mayor at all about this?
No.
Okay. Nothing you want to know, news you can break so far here.
I wish we had an inkling of what they thought. I mean, but we'll find out soon enough.
What would be a mistake?
A casino. But that's not happening at this point. And I don't think the city was I don't think anybody really, when they got down to it, was really going to let that happen. That would have been a disaster.
Yeah, there was some pretty swift response to that. I will certainly agree with that. But let me just kind of wrap up the hour then and ask what your process is. You're meeting with the city next week.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And then do you feel, you know, you've you kind of assess the field? Do you feel you like your chances with this project here?
We like our chances, but frankly, we think this should really be a community-driven decision. We want people to get involved. We want city residents and people who care about this project to write City Hall and let them know what they think. I want them to write us and let us know what they think. If they have ideas, I mean, this really should be a project that that involves the community in every way, shape, and form. So, you know, we trust the city's going to do a great job vetting all these proposals. We like our proposal the best because we think it's the best use. But, you know, if the community wants something else, then so be it. That's what should be built.
Okay. Lauren?
I agree completely. You know, we're really doing this because of this parcel is so precious to what's going on downtown and the redevelopment of the Midtown block. We really want to see something that's worthwhile and appropriate be built. And again, I totally agree with Patrick that comes from the community and who's going to be dictating that.
It's going to be interesting. You know, I was really struck when you said earlier this hour that it's important that even the site now be really presentable and clean. I mean, people, the DNC, they play wiffle ball games out there.
Absolutely.
I go down and get coffee. It's a pleasurable place just to walk around now, and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine, you know, more park space and more development there, more of a chance to see it where, you know, maybe where it eventually ends up here. It's a beautiful view, and our city is beautiful, guys.
Absolutely.
I'm very pro-Rochester. There's a bias that the host is willing to admit there. So I'm proud of the city, and it's going to be very interesting to see the choice that's made. But thank you for letting our listeners know about it. And depending on where we go, I hope you come back here and kind of stay in touch on this.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Evan.
Appreciate
Patrick
it.
Dutton and Lauren Galena. And Galena Development is on Facebook. You want to check out more of the renderings. We shall see. John Andrus is the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer of this broadcast. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday on member-supported public radio.